Yeah, so if you want a stronger athlete, I think any time overloading the eccentric phase is going to be awesome. We've shown that that does produce greater forces. But if you're really looking to get the most bang for your buck, more weight across the whole thing is going to be the best. So doing something where you're doing a maximal or super maximal accentuated eccentric loaded back squat and then standing up with heavier weights, so 70% or 80% concentrically, would be the best to get maximal strength benefits.
All right, Brooklyn, it's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be great.
Thank you. My name is Brooklyn Campbell. I am a strength coach at University of Houston. I currently work with women's soccer and women's softball. My background in research was done during my undergrad, which is where I did the research for my study we're going to talk about today, at Carroll University. And my co-authors are all from sort of Carroll University as well.
All right, so today we talk squats, back squats specifically, and we will look at some biomechanics. So, but I will let you to introduce the study. So what was the aim of the study? What you were trying to do?
So the study was a comparison of braking and propulsion phases of accentuated eccentric loaded back squats in resistance trained women. And I'll break down what that is. So braking and propulsion characteristics are the lowering phase of a squat and then the concentric or propulsion phase of a squat where you're lifting back up as well. So we're looking at both of those with the force characteristics and the velocity characteristics that go into that. Accentuated eccentric loaded back squats, that's kind of a loaded word. And what that is it's a back squat that basically has to fit three criteria. It has to involve both the lowering and the raising phase, so the or eccentric and concentric phase of a back squat. It has to be basically unbroken without minimal disruption. So if you're doing a back squat, you're not pausing at the bottom or doing anything different, making it a different type of movement. Or bending forward to cause weight to fall off or anything like that. And then the other thing that makes it an accentuated eccentric loaded back squat is it has to have a heavier load on the way down than it would as then you when you rise back up. So overloading the lowering portion of the back squat.
So practically it's this back squat where on the hooks you have kind of weight attached. You have this weight on the way down. As soon as the weight touches the ground, it disattaches itself from the barbell and portion of the squat where you go up is without this additional weight.
Yes, exactly. Hooks fall off right at the bottom of your squat. The squat looks exactly the same as it would without the hooks.
Awesome. All right. Who did you test and how the testing went?
So testing that we did was performed on resistance trained women. That's kind of the unique part of this study. There are other studies that have been published with the same group of authors and different leading authors on resistance trained men as well. But I specifically in my study that I like was the lead author on looked at resistance trained women, which is a very understudied group. And so we had 14 female athletes performing the test. They were all of about college age. Their maximal back squat 1RM varied between 1.1 times their body weight to 1.7 times their body weight. So pretty big range in strengths. They had been training with the back squat for over a year and resistance training for over a year. So it was nothing new to them prior to performing the test. What we did for our testing sessions is we had four testing sessions. The first one, when we got the participants, we did an informed consent, took their height, weight, and performed a one rep max test following the standardized protocol and standardized dynamic warm up. Following that, we did a familiarization phase with the weight releasers. So those are those hooks that are falling off. During the familiarization phase, we did a couple of different weights. First, just we were trying to figure out when exactly is the bottom of their squat, the lowest spot when their thighs are at parallel to the ground, because that's when the hooks need to fall off. So we did a first with just no weight on the bar, figuring out where the weight releasers fall off. And then we did 50% on the barbell, nothing on the weight releasers, again, figuring out. And then we did 50% on the barbell, 10% on each of the weight releasers. So a total of 70% performing three repetitions of the back squat where the weight releasers fall off on the very lowest point of their back squat. Just familiarize them like that.
So the releasers fall off on the first rep and then the second and the third rep is just carry on without the additional weight, is it?
Yep. So in our study, we did a first rep, weight releasers fall off. You do two additional sets without the use of weight releasers. And the reason we chose to do that is because there is some studies that show a potentiation effect on the following repetitions following the first one. So we didn't feel the need to rehook the weight releasers after each one because we were curious what that looked like. And then the potentiation effect would come off on the fourth and fifth reps. And that study was done, I believe, on resistance trained males in the bench press. So okay, then back to the study. Following sessions that we did, there was three other sessions. Those were our testing sessions. They were done in a randomized order. It was a traditional session, AEL maximal session, and then an AEL super maximal normal session. So the sessions followed they'd come in, they do their standardized warm up, and they would do 3 repetitions of a concentric weight of 50%, 60%, 70%, and 80%, 3 reps at each of those. During that, we'd have a velocity transducer hooked onto the barbell. They'd be on force plates for all of their reps. They'd have a 3-minute rest in between, 3 to 5 minutes. And then, so that would be like the traditional, right? Just basic back squats. So we had something to compare it to. And then the AEL maximal was 100% of their max on the way down, standing up with 50%, 60%, 70%, and 80%. And then super maximal, we did at 110% on the way down, standing up with those same weights.
Ooh, that sounds spicy.
It's intense. It's very hard. It's deceptive because you'd think like there's a lot of research saying you can get up to 150% of your 1 rep max eccentrically, so lowering. But I'll tell you, 110 is pretty hard. I wouldn't want to do much more.
Does it feel like you're fighting for your life on the way down with the first one, and then you're like, oh my god, so happy it went off?
Yeah, it definitely, like when you're going down with the 110, when the weight releasers fall off, you spring off. You're like, oh my gosh, like that was easy. You kind of have to be prepared for it. You can't just depth drop into it or you'll keep going down. You're really fighting for your life with the heavier weight. But a lot of it is, it's interesting because a lot of it is like just familiarizing yourself with it and trusting your body to do the movement mechanics that you've always learned with a back squat. Like, don't do anything weird. Don't quarter rep it. Like, make sure you're hitting your depth. Slow and steady, control the weight, and you got it.
Now, how long does it take for an average person to learn how to do these squats?
It really doesn't take long. I mean, we did 1 familiarization phase, which was really only 2 or 3 times using the rate releasers. Then they came in, and if they were doing AEL super maximal, they were doing it on their first testing session. So none of our participants, or at least not that I know of, were previously training with AEL. So it was a pretty quick learning process. You just have to trust yourself, do your regular squat. That was the number one thing we said, is like, do your regular squat. Like, change nothing about how you move in your regular squat. And it's interesting feeling the weight. You'll feel them sway a little bit. We had people to help steady the weight so that they weren't swaying back and forth before we got the squat, but it's just your basic squat. Really fast learning process.
Could we go through what you have measured?
We measured the braking mean force, braking duration, braking impulse, as well as the propulsion mean force, propulsion duration, and propulsion impulse. And then we also measured the mean barbell velocity and the peak barbell velocity during the back.
Excellent. I think most of these terms people can comprehend, but could you explain an impulse?
An impulse is sort of a combination of the duration and the force metrics.
How so?
It's the multiplication of them both. So the impulse is, I guess, them combined.
Okay. All right. So we know what you measure. Now we are ready for the results.
Yeah. So the results of the test were that greater braking mean force and greater impulses occurred across all AEL conditions. So, or across all accentuated eccentric loaded back squat conditions. So the super maximal and maximal accentuated eccentric loaded back squats produced greater force and impulses. There was not practically significant differences between our barbell propulsion variables. We didn't notice in our study specifically anything that displayed, we didn't notice any potentiation effects within our sets. And that could be the population we are testing on. That could be our relative strengths, but we did not see any potentiation effects in our population. And that was similar to the findings on the male participant, though there have been other studies that show male participants having potentiation effects. And then a unique thing to think about when training with accentuated eccentric loaded back squats is the spread that you're giving the athlete. So if you're lowering 110% of your max and standing up with 80% of your max, you're going to produce a lot more force. Whereas a larger spread, so when you're lowering 110% of your max and standing up with 50% of your max, you're going to produce a lot more rapid force development characteristics. So just more speed going up. So kind of prescribing them, you can use that to decide, well, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to get maximal strength? Do I want to shorten the spread, or am I trying to produce rapid force development characteristics? Do I want to make the spread bigger?
All right, let's unpack a little bit. So if my goal as a coach is to produce more force, so I want the athlete to get stronger, how would I apply the findings of your study?
Yeah, so if you want a stronger athlete, I think anytime overloading the eccentric phase is going to be awesome. We've shown that does produce greater forces. But if you're really looking to get the most bang for your buck, more weight across the whole thing is going to be the best. So doing something where you're doing a maximal or super maximal accentuated eccentric loaded back squat, and then standing up with heavier weights. So 70% or 80% concentrically would be the best to get maximal strength benefits.
Okay. And then if I want the athlete to produce force faster, so be quicker potentially?
Yes. So to produce force faster, you would want to have larger spread with your accentuated eccentric loaded back squats between the eccentric and concentric phase. So that would look like something maybe where you're doing 110% total weight going down and then coming up with something like 50% or 60%. Or you could even just do a maximal repetition where you're having 100% on the way down, 50 or 60% on the way up.
Do you have any other tips for coaches if they would like to try and apply it?
Yeah. Some tips I would have is be thoughtful with how you use it. Anytime you're using AEL, you want to think about the load. You want to think about the frequency and then even like the duration of how you're doing it. Accentuated eccentric loaded back squats are a great tool because they can be prescribed for hypertrophy training, strength training, or power training. It all goes down to how you prescribe it. So if you're wanting to use it, maybe you're just doing it during peak week. And they're not doing accentuated eccentric loaded back squats throughout the rest of the week. Or maybe they're doing it throughout the whole training phase. It's really important to just think about how you're implementing this and what adaptation you want to see, because that can completely change how you use the weight releasers.
So would you use them for potentiation mainly? And then whatever the outcome of the exercise should be, then the loading will be applicable to the outcome you desire?
Yeah, so depending on what outcome you're hoping to get, I would say it would change. I personally would use it more in a maximal strength phase. Just given our findings, I think it really supported that. If I were planning to use accentuated eccentric loaded back squat with my athletes, I would make sure it is athletes that are really great lifters. I don't think this is something for the novice athlete. It's very advanced. It's a hard training technique. So finding an athlete who's almost stagnant in their training and trying to use this to take them over the edge to try something new, it's a novice stimulus for most. So using it in that situation, I would probably put it then.
All right. So let's sum up. How, in maybe 3 sentences, would you use this type of training?
I would use this training with my stronger athletes during the strength phase. And I personally like using it just during a peak week. So maybe on my 4th week or 3rd week of the block, doing a sort of an overtraining sort of stimulus and then not using it on a deload and taking it away. That's how I like to use it.
Awesome. Do you use this technique with your athlete personally, your athletes?
I do. I currently have a lot of younger athletes, so I haven't used it this year much. But last year I had a large group of graduate students and seniors who had really strong strength and conditioning backgrounds and had back squatted for years, and I pulled a number of them to do accentuated eccentric loaded back squats with, and they thought it was the most fun and just something that they were like really felt that they were getting a great benefit out of. It's a unique thing. It brought excitement back into the weight room, so it was really cool.
That's awesome. That's a good enough reason, I think. If you have athletes who are training very hard, preparing for competition, many of the coaches in the audience are Olympic weightlifting coaches, so you know, Olympic weightlifting 2 exercises, and then you have front squat and back squat to support it, maybe some deadlifts, maybe some pulls. Yeah, there's, I don't know, 35 exercises to choose from. So at some point, it's all the same every day. So if you can add a bit of spiciness, and it is a challenge too. I have never done these, but you can imagine that going down with 110 of your max back squat is exciting mentally, and everyone is watching, and you need some help to attach the hooks first and for them to not, you know, not be swinging and so on. So it is of a fun way to make athletes work hard.
Yeah, it's exciting. We have quite a few sets of hooks, but nonetheless, I still am safety's top priority. I always have 1 athlete spotting from behind, 2 on the sides, making sure the releasers come off, stabilizing the weights, and just those 3 athletes helping out the one doing the back squat alone just involves so much excitement and teammates hyping up each other. So it's really awesome.
That's amazing. All right, coaches, use it.
Absolutely. Put it in. Try it out. Try it out for yourself first, and then try it out with your athlete.
Awesome. Well, we have 2 questions to finish. Short questions. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
So I saw that you were going to ask this one, and I went back and forth on what I should say, but my favorite lift is the front squat. I really do like front squatting. I like the core engagement. I feel like I always feel it when I front squat. I know I've done something when I front squatted. It's my favorite. I know most people hate front squats. So whenever I say that, I'm like, oh, they're going to hate this one. But it's just, it hurts, you know? You feel like you got some good work in.
Awesome. Hard worker. All right. Last question. Where people can find you if they want to follow your work or ask a question or just see what you're doing with your athletes or with your research?
I'm always available for email. So my email is bacampb2@central.uh.edu. And as well as Instagram, DMs are perfectly open. My Instagram is Brooke988, and that's BROOKE988.
Excellent. Brooke, thank you so much for today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.